Wednesday night it started to dawn on me, and then today I listened again to Wednesday night, and I think it really dawned on me about what the Holy, who the Holy Spirit is, and what it means. And I think this stuff, all the stuff that I saw at Beverly Hills, places like that, I think I've seen through it. And it was like in a moment this afternoon, a whole bunch of scriptures came clear about you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you receive not because you think you will consume it on your own desires. And it's like I have an awareness that the only thing to ask for, the only needful thing, the only request is for the Holy Spirit, to receive His Spirit. And I want to ask, this feels religious on the inside, but I want to ask my Father to touch me, and that I can receive the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I know that what I'm asking is I want the body to lay hands on me. Now I know that the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ, and I want adoption. I want a sound mind.
Yeah. One of the reasons that we haven't studied, I mean, everybody always asks me, well, are you charismatic? Or do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Some of you have come out of church backgrounds where that was that was normal. Some of you don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. And some of you have come out of backgrounds where, well, that was for the quote-unquote apostolic age. So we've brought all kinds of opinions about the Holy Spirit. Everything from, I don't know what he is, or to that was for the first century, to on and on and on. And so I've purposefully not taught on the Holy Spirit in Bananas. But the answer to the question, if somebody asks me, yes, I'm charismatic. I speak in tongues. I believe in all of the gifts of the healing. I believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. I speak in tongues all the time. Every time I'm confronted with something that, like if I'm driving, is a good example because it always happens. If I'm driving and all of a sudden that thought, you know, where, well, this car is going to ram you or something, you know, that kind of weird thought that goes through all of our minds, I immediately begin to speak in tongues. Anytime that one of you calls me and you have a problem, I immediately begin to speak in tongues. I mean, I always speak in tongues almost. But I don't do it here very often.
Thank you.
Go to Acts, get a Bible.
Yeah, part of what happened in me this afternoon, I said that you mentioned, I haven't been to Beverly Hills and stuff. Part of what happened was my eyes, for years now, have been on things like speaking in tongues and, weird stuff, and manifestations of the Spirit. That's what my eyes have been on. Like, the request is, oh, let me speak in tongues. And it's like, in a moment, I don't care about stuff. I don't care what happens or doesn't happen. I just want a sound mind.
First of all, you couldn't, no one in the human race, the world, couldn't exist another second without the operation of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. The Spirit is what, there's an idea in life that that some of these organizations or how-to books are beginning to understand, and that is when God spoke, he spoke the word and the world, the universe came into existence. Wow. And the process is, it's the Father is the thought, the Son is the word, and the action to accomplish that word is the Holy Spirit. When you have a thought in your mind and you speak it, and then it comes into being, the only way it can come into being is by the Holy Spirit. I don't care if it's, I want a drink of coffee. So I had the thought, the word came, and it doesn't have to be word. I mean, it can be a word internalized. Then the action by which I am able to take the thought and accomplish it is accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God.
Wow. So even coffee.
There's no thing you can do. Most of the things that you do are automatic. Your heart is beating at a particular rate without your consciousness. It's happening because there was a word, a thought, and a word, and an action. The action is what the psychologists call the motor functions of your mind. But its action is by the Holy Spirit. That's what's causing your heart to beat. I mean, he is everywhere, always. He is the agency of action. It doesn't matter whether you recognize it or not. He is the only agency by which you have ever been able to take any action whatsoever. Now, in the same way, every thought you think is a prayer. You're just normally praying to the wrong God. That blows you away. My God, I've been praying all my life. That's all I've ever done. And then, you hear religious, and I'm going to learn how to pray. Well, what religion does is they try to then encapsulate the Holy Spirit into an arena by which meets their preconceived ideas of who the Holy Spirit is. Do you understand me? That there is no thing, no deed, no action that can take place in the realm of time that isn't accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God.
No, I'm saying no. Not, I don't disagree. I have thought, and I think, still think, that there's a spirit of the world, or a spirit of time and space, or the spirit of the opposer, or there's some spirit which is not the Holy Spirit.
Well, there is. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole realm of spirits which are not the Holy Spirit.
Well, I have thought, and I think still think, that I operate by that spirit.
Do you understand what the problem is? The problem is, at the base, at the core level, each of you think you have free will. And therefore you can, by your will, take some action of learning or understanding or revelation that will cause the right spirit. Don't you secretly believe you have free will? You have the choice, right? You have always been an expression of deity. You can never be anything but an expression of deity. Why?
When you said that about picking up the coffee and the motor function, it's like, gee, I guess the Holy Spirit doesn't like me. I mean, it's obviously something.
Something. Yeah, because for you, it's not an automatic in terms of movement and activity. It's a struggle.
Well, not only that, but it's like overshooting or kind of playing a big joke on me.
Why? Well,
I think I'm talking to air here. No, well, you're talking about, you think you have free will. I think I've seen through that, but I thought that there was a God of this world and a God of the universe, and that you're either expressing the God of this world or the God of the universe, and there is no free will. It's one or the other. And I think that's what I'm saying when I say that I believe is the word, that I operate by that spirit.
Yeah, but, again, let me, I don't know, how can I simplify this? You know who Norman Grubb is, right? And you think he's a spiritual man and he's got it, he knows something. If you saw Norman Grubb and another old man sitting around and talking, and if you watched them, if you took a movie camera and followed their lives, you wouldn't see any difference. I mean, from your standpoint, from what you just said, it was the God of this world that was causing the one old man to pick up the coffee and drink it. And from Norman Grubb's standpoint, it was the Holy Spirit that was causing him to pick up the coffee.
I think that is what he said.
And drink it. When you've got to finally see that the only place the God of this world has any strength is in your mind. He doesn't have any other place where he has any capacity for operation.
So then what am I asking for if I ask that?
That's why you felt nervous. You felt religious because part of you knew you were asking a question which by definition causes separation. And that there's something in you that recognized, oh my God, I don't want to do that. And so you felt, you recognized it as religion. Now the only question that you have is whether or not you can come to a the only place the God of this world has ever blinded anyone is in your mind. He's blinded your mind to think that you're an independent self. Okay, well, all of the independent self can do is try to be unindependent, try to be strong, try to get it together, try to learn the right words, try to learn the right way to do it. That's all you've done all your life. Now you've brought that into the Bible study, and you're still trying to get it right. Right? So now you've heard me talk about the Holy Spirit, so now you want to get the Holy Spirit stuff right. You've always been right.
So back to the coffee cup. The desire to have coffee, it sounds stupid, but that's just another thought. That's Holy Spirit too, doesn't it?
The thought is the Father.
Okay.
The Word is Son. The action is the Holy Spirit.
So all the way to wanting coffee.
Everything.
Going to the bathroom.
Everything. Everything.
Wow. The lie is that you think it's you that wanted the coffee.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait. We got to go back to basics. Let's go to John 5.
Okay.
John 5. You got it? Verse 30.
Got it.
Jesus is speaking, and he can say, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, there's a whole bunch of those. Let me look at it. Let's go for a bunch of them.
Wow, this is neat.
This is one of them spurious Bibles.
This is
neat. Didn't say that.
Go to verse 19.
John 13.
Chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of, or better translated, from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, either Christ was totally different than you and I, or else, he had some kind of a, he could do nothing without God, and he did nothing except he saw the Father do it. He said nothing except he heard the Father say it. So, he either had to have an internalized television and a RF mic, or he knew a secret. Whatsoever I do what I see my Father doeth. Am I communicating to you?
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for you to have a thought, to think a thought, to accomplish anything, to do anything, unless it's the Father that's doing it. The lie says that you're separate from me. It's the one lie of the universe.
Well, that makes sense. I understand that.
Yeah.
The problem is, you said he knew a secret. Amen. He knew a secret, and he knew it continually. I don't fucking know it.
Okay, the reason
I'm tired of not knowing it.
Okay.
I'm tired of telling myself what you're telling me.
Okay. And so was Jesus when he was an adolescent. Jesus Christ was exactly as you are. Well, what are we doing this stuff for? Why are we coming here to Bible study? Why did Tina and Brenda move here from Dallas? I mean, from
Mesa.
Wherever. Why do any of you come here to listen to this idiot talk to you?
I'll answer that. I come here because I want to live. I want to live where you live. I'm tired of answering questions with empty words. I'm tired of
thank you.
over a long period of time for me, compared to what was a short period of time for you, I have heard a man talking. And I am saying I want what that man is talking about. And I don't care what it costs. I don't know what I'm asking for.
All I'm saying,
I don't know what you asked for that night, but I know whatever it was, you got it because you live in a different place than I do.
Okay. My only job is to tell you, you have it. With no effort. The problem is the subject, the independent eye. Mm-hmm. He knew the secret. Well, how do you get to know the secret?
Surrender.
You can never be anything other than Jesus Christ. They'll kill you out there for saying that.
Just think about the thoughts, you know. Even after all this time, it still seems presumptuous to say that my thoughts are God's thoughts. And I don't know at what point it stops being presumption and it just seems right, but it still seems pretty audacious to think that.
You can be nothing, and you have never been anything but an expression of a deity. But there's been a liar in your temple. And the liar has always tried and tried and tried. The lie of the liar is trying.
It's real wild. This week something came up that was just in that realm, and it came up right after that about surrendering. And that was that Pam called me and invited me to their Bible study. My instant reaction was I felt suddenly terribly disenfranchised. And that lasted for like a second. And I just listened to what she had to say. We were just talking, and I got the phone and realized that I didn't need to do anything. I didn't need to saw anything. I didn't need to make a plan. I didn't need to think a certain way. I didn't need to take care of Pam. It was just kind of like, and I finally realized it's like the liberation has always been there, but I haven't acted on what was always evident, what was always around me, and that is being at liberty. Not like being fair in liberty or being smart in liberty, but just because you can't do that.
Whenever or being reasonable in liberty.
Yeah, you can't.
just stop a minute and think. The past doesn't exist. There is no part of you that has ever existed before tonight, before this instant. The God of this universe has just made it clear to you that you are his rightful heir, his child. And he has put himself in you, and he's tabernacling, tenting himself, if you will, in you. It may not be what you think it should be. You don't need anything other than what you have now. And the point is that it's impossible to need anything other than what you have now tomorrow. I mean, this is so awesome that it beggars description. That's the only thing you've seen in me as I've known that. Well, what about this? Okay, whatever that this is in your life, you
It's his things.
I was thinking about something today. This whole deal with different groups, I have been pretty bummed out about it. As Beryl pointed out, more than just a little, it's been a big deal. And then the next step was, you know, or is Doug and Larry and all these people here really qualified to teach? You know, what are these people going to get, you know, from these people who don't know the Bible like you do? And then I was just realizing the difference between us and everybody else I know is we're not, you know, we're not passing on knowledge. We're emphasizing knowledge. We're emphasizing power and efficacy. And so what if all the Bible verses aren't delivered in a neat sequence? I mean, that's not the essence. And, I mean, that's obvious. There's nothing new, but it just dawned on me that we really are about reality and not belief or, you know, or substance or power. And I mean, it doesn't take theology.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to teach this stuff. Obviously. All it takes is for you to know it. To know. This isn't optional. That's the problem I had last night with Linda McCarthy. She came over and talked to me. She said, okay, well, no, this is your interpretation. That's her favorite thing to say to me. No, it's not. Jesus Christ is your entire being, life, not those things in you that you think are good, or those things when you feel good. He is always your entire life. Every thought is his thought. And his development, if you will, if you want to use that thing of progress, his development is his business.
I don't think I like this. I an answer, but I don't think I like this.
You didn't. You have another answer. Alternative to
this.
Like,
I don't think I like
this. We want to hear answer B.
No, you want plan B that will give you some rightness.
Yeah, that's right. Is this a multiple choice thing? Can we vote on it? Is it democracy?
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Knowing that he is resurrected in us. Knowing that Christ is our life. Knowing that love is the only thing that motivates us. Knowing.
Seems like the word trying triggered something.
Everybody wants to try.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do this right. You can't do the doctrine. You can only be the doctrine. The moment you try to do anything,
you get dusted.
You get dusted.
Yeah, I may be way off track, but what I said about the motor function, it's like, if I am trying to do something, I can't do it. I mean, it's just... And otherwise it goes real smooth.
It's that way with making a sign. I mean, we got all the way to N-O-T-H-I-N, and we got to the last N, and I go, oh shit, I can't start trying now. I'm gonna fuck the whole thing up because it's all the way down to stupid things like making a sign, because if you try, you can mess it up. But my favorite thing to say to me is, I'm trying!
Can't you see I'm trying?
I'm trying.
Well, it's a good beat.
I get it.
Nothing before this moment exists. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. Nothing before. Now everything in front is the God who created the universe's business. And he is in you. That's all there is. There's nothing else. My only job is to cause you to know that. Not to teach you how to do stuff. My only job is, another part of that only business, is to show you that none of it is optional. You believe in him that you might be justified by the faith of him. I've told you that 100 times. You start out believing only in you. You're your chief God. Doesn't matter what you do, you can go to church and everything else, but you believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. And then self fails.
Boy.
Then you say, okay, now I need to believe in something else. So you believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't want you to believe in me. I want you to live by me. He gave us something that's more precious than you can even place words on, and that's life. Life means it's its own power. I mean, that's the whole message. It's everything. And you're totally free. You can do nothing against the truth. You cannot make a mistake. Even Harry can't make a mistake.
I was thinking even Louie. I was praying.
Listen to this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't give himself as an ideal that you have to try to live up to. He is you. Can you imagine Jesus? He's about 12 or 13. He's having this great discussion. All right, I want to get the Holy Spirit.
So he went down to the Holy Spirit place.
I was going to say, he went to reach for an Andy Warhol can of tomato soup.
He went to the Holy Spirit store.
Give me a six pack.
And you know how much it cost him for that Holy Spirit, that can of Holy Spirit?
$5,000.
Oh, don't do it again.
Cost him $5,000 for a can of Holy Spirit stuff.
What's the reference here?
Poor Harry.
That's low.
All of you have gone down to the spiritual supermarket to get stuff. And you keep trying to pay for it. You keep trying to pay.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that great night with Rick and I and Tyra over at Authors. It was right after I met Tyra, and she and Rick were talking. And she just kept talking about some damn thing, who knows what. And Rick looked at her and he said, Tyra, I get this impression that you're waiting for the check. And he said to her, the check's been paid. In everything, the check's been paid. Amen?
Let's go pay for some food.
Everybody understand a little bit?
Bit.
Doesn't matter whether, you know, it's just...
In times like this, I wonder why us, and especially the church, get so sidetracked with doctrine and theology and factions. And, I mean, it just seems pointless, you know.
It is.
Why do we celebrate feast days? I mean, I'm not saying we should, but sometimes it seems pointless to do anything beyond this.
The pure, at this point then, this, knock your socks off. At this point, when this moment captures you, then to the pure in heart, all things are pure. And again, I say to you, you're standing before the Father, forgiven, loved, accepted, perfect, holy. Now love yourself. Now you have the authority, the power, the means to love yourself. For some of you, that's the rarest thing in the universe. I'm hungry.
I'm starving.
Take it, big guy.
We gotta go somewhere.